Page 162. D. Making a difference. Have you ever dreamt of making a difference to the lives of other people? Most people would probably answer yes, but very few actually turn their dream into reality. Gemma is an extraordinary Australian woman who followed her dream. Thanks to her warm heart and sense of determination, numerous Tanzanian children from poor families now have the opportunity to receive high-quality primary and secondary education.
When I was in high school in the 1980s, I was inspired by Bob Geldof and the Live Aid project to help the starving masses in Ethiopia. I just wanted to go there right away and hand food out of a truck, you know, that naivety you have when you don't know how it works. Then, when I was in year 11 and 12, I was actually thinking of becoming a sister, but only if I could work in Africa. I went to university for 5 years, and then I got contacts with a school in Uganda, and I went there as a voluntary teacher for 3 years. I lived with the sisters and loved it. But I am a very independent person, and it was a mutual decision that sisterhood wasn't for me. But I had 3 wonderful years, and I am still close to the order. The school where I was working was a high-end private girls' school. Only the upper echelons of Ugandan society could afford the school fees to send their daughters there. After I finished working in Uganda, I thought a lot about the need for a good private school that is free of charge. At that time, I had already met my husband Richard and was living in Tanzania. Richard's father had been a village chairman for probably 15 years. One time when I came to visit Rich, his dad said to me, "Jim, Richard has told me how much work you're doing for education in Uganda. You know Tanzania is much worse off. If I give you 2 acres of land, would you be interested in building a school for our village people? It has to be free of charge." I got so excited. Even though I didn't have any money to build a school, at least I had the land. I excitedly went back to Australia and started raising money for the buildings. This was in the year 2000. My dad introduced me to Rotary International, which is an organisation full of social-minded, well-connected business people. They have good hearts and are usually wealthy as well. I went to the local Rotary Club in town and made a speech in the hope that they would be willing to support and kickstart my fundraising. To this day, I am indebted to that club because they said yes to helping me to do a fundraiser. They committed to having a table in our mall for 4 Saturdays, and they said that they would roster. Different Rotarians would stand behind the table and they would collect donations to start the building of the school. They raised over $20,000 to kickstart the first buildings. When I was working in Uganda, I was a volunteer, so I had killed my credit cards and had no money. The Rotary Club in my hometown organised 15 volunteers to bring the money across here and build the first building. I couldn't come because I couldn't afford the plane ticket. My husband looked after them and they had tents up for them. They built the very first classrooms in 2001. Then I came across in the middle of that year. I had sold my car, paid off all my bills and closed my bank accounts. I had $200 left over and not a fear in the world. I couldn't have done that now. Gosh, I was so naive. It has been bloody hard. Anyway, when I came here, we had 6 months getting the school ready. We had a container come from Australia with desks, chairs, textbooks, library books, pens and pencils, enough for us to live out of for a few years. Each of the children in our school is sponsored by somebody. My job is to find a Westerner who is willing to foot the bill of the school fees on behalf of a child here. What we do is we find children who are very bright, but very poor. That combination is very difficult to find. Last year we had over 10,000 applications. It takes us about 6 months to go through them all, and there are lots of entrance tests. We take 150 new ones each year. We had three sponsors to begin with in 2002. They were close friends and family who couldn't say no to me. Now, we have more than 4,000 sponsors on the books, three schools and 1,600 children from primary to secondary. The schools are running pretty much by themselves now, but it hasn't been easy. In Tanzania, about 50% of the people do not go past primary school. Sometimes there are 70 or 80 kids in the classroom. Three or four children have to share one desk. They don't have textbooks. The teachers are underpaid and undereducated. They cannot have assignments or discussions because how can a teacher have a discussion with 70 children? Or how can she mark 80 assignments? You just can't do it. So it is all a very rote learning type of education. The teacher writes everything on the board because they don't have textbooks. Then the students are supposed to learn it. A lot of the learning is just copying off the board. Teachers often show up late for work, which is acceptable. Beating children is also acceptable. To bring in a system where we have no more than 25 kids in a class and where teachers are only teaching 25 periods out of 40 a week because we expect them to have good lesson plans is very hard because you're changing the teacher's history. They have a different point of reference, so we are trying to change the teacher's mentality. It's hard, but it gets easier each year. I've been in Arusha for 10 years now, and I think there have been a lot of changes. When I first came, people were not sleeping on mattresses. Now they do. And people have glass in their windows, and they might have a light bulb. In the past, we said no to anyone with electricity, but not anymore. And we accept families who have mattresses on their beds. A lot of people have a cement floor instead of dirt floors, and you can see the economic development in the clothes people wear. But out in the bush, things haven't really changed very much. There, people still sleep on the floor without a mattress, using grass in their bed instead. Some things never seem to change. There is a lot of corruption. There is a culture here where you do not question people above you, your superiors. You see your village chairman, your district educational officer or a policeman doing something, you just don't question it. And if they're not questioned or challenged, they only continue. In regards to St. Jude's, I don't expect our kids to change the country, but I hope that our boys will not beat their wives when they grow up. There is a lot of domestic abuse here. I hope that the girls are choosier in their husbands because a lot of women here are not educated. This means that they are reliant on their husbands, which can encourage abuse. It comes out of ignorance and lack of education. A woman can't leave a man if she can't get a job, and she has to look after the kids. So, if our women can be stronger and demand more respect, then I think we've done a good job.